Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of experience experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Hello, and welcome to Life Lab. Today we're going to talk about a topic that I think Zach and I are both excited about. We've talked about this topic with a few other people. If you'll remember, our last episode was with Vince Ostrander from the Mandate podcast. Go check out Vince's podcast if you have not already. Great podcast. But we told Vince about the subject we were talking about today. He was excited about it. We told my wife Lauren's brother about it. He was excited about it. This is a good one. This is going to be some interesting topic.
Yeah,
because today we're talking about lying.
Yeah, everyone I told was, usually when I bring up a topic that we're going to discuss, people are like, oh, okay. And when I said we're going to talk about lying, it was they'd instantly stop and actually listen and be like, oh, that, huh.
Yeah, I mean, it contrasts. Like, it's hard to get someone interested when you say we're going to be talking about self-actualization. And then we have to explain what that means. And then they get into it. But lying is something that everybody, you know, relates to, understands, and, you know, it's something that everyone does. As we usually do, we start out with a definition. And lying is to speak untruthfully with an intent to mislead or deceive, or to convey a false impression or practice deception. So in order to lie successfully, a person must be able to tell the difference between what is true and what is false. They must know that it's possible for someone to have a false belief. They must be able to suppress their knowledge of the true state of affairs while communicating something contrary to fact, and they must deliberately intend to plant a false belief, according to Psychology Today, all of those four things. So, but it basically talks about how lying came about, probably, shortly after language came about as a way to gain an advantage in competition over resources, and it was much easier to do than physical dominance. It goes on, the things that I read go on to talk about how now it's a social lubricant. It's necessary to be seen as a normal human being because if you don't lie to grease the wheels of the social order, so to speak, with niceties, you're seen as rude and confrontational and aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you were reading. Obviously, it seems like from a more mechanistic resource allocation sort of approach, but and that all makes sense. But I don't think that lying to deceive others to win their resources preceded the idea of lying for political reasons, because at the same, forming alliances is a way to deprive others of their resources. So to me, the social lubricant idea is as old as the resource trying to gain and allocate and steal resources. To me, those two things go hand in hand.
I agree. I just think it's from the, are we talking about it from the perspective of an individual or from groups? You know,
The whole point is I'm saying humans are group individuals. We're only here because we're social animals.
Yeah, we are. But I think in transactions between individuals, you can purposely deceive someone. And basically it says it's easier than like fighting them for something, right? Like if you can make them believe that there is no food under that rock and they'll go away, that's much easier than fighting them for the food under the rock. So
Yeah. I mean, to me, that definition is a perfect example of academic horse shit. It's absolutely useless, in my opinion, because read that out loud. Okay, how does any of that apply to my five-year-old lying to me about whether she's watching a cartoon on Netflix? I mean, at the end of the day, when I, as an academic, this is so contrarian, but that's okay. I like to get into the concrete situations of how these things get used. So read those last four qualifiers from the Psychology Today article, if you have it up.
Tell the difference between what's true and false.
Okay.
Believe, know it's possible for someone to have a false belief. Be able to suppress the person's knowledge of the true state of affairs. And deliberately intend to to plant a false belief. I mean, all those things apply.
Yeah,
to
I agree, but to me, they're just way less meaningful than the what. That's explaining the why. It's just like, well, what and how? Like, how is this going to affect our relationship now? To me, I mean, what's interesting is where does the child learn to lie? We don't teach our children to lie, clearly, but they pick up on the fact that it's there. It's a thing. How do they learn to lie? That's interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean,
Claudia, if you want mommy to let you watch the Netflix cartoon, here is how you do it. I mean, we don't do that.
I always, lately, whenever we talk about things and we say, why do people do that? I think it's easy to, and you could probably find support by going back to evolutionary science and say, the people who didn't lie died.
Yeah.
You know, like, just think about someone, like I said in the beginning, think about someone if they were 100% truthful 100% of the time. Watch the movie Liar Liar with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Liar Liar.
Right? His life becomes awful. And that, I'm sure they had to write that to be an entertaining thing. Think of how just rude and, like, confrontational and whatever you would be when people, you just basically be 100% honest with people all of the time.
This made me think of something that you were really excited about at one point. And that was having computers be connected to us, and so that we never miscommunicate, because we're always in tuned and synced up, and we're not misaligning our meanings.
Well, to me, you're putting words in my mouth.
Well, how does lying factor in to that?
Well, you're putting words in my mouth. What I was saying was,
Dave wants computers in all of our brains.
What I was saying was, we have a limit to the speed with which we can communicate. And that limit is this muscle in our mouth, and our mouth making weird sounds that then are sequentially tied to a structure that we all understand. There's no other way for me to get a thought from my mind to your mind, at least that we know of right now, in a true, pure form. It has to be translated into these words, which are not really my thought. They're just representative in some way of my thought. And then I have to, like, put way too many of them together to try and give you, like, the closest representation of my thought as I can get. And even then, it's still not my thought. So that's what I was saying. So what am I saying when you say,
well,
lying?
How would lying impact that for you?
Like, if you could just transmit thoughts from one person to another, then, I mean, A, I think you would be a much better liar if you could selectively pick the thoughts that you're transferring. You would. You'd be a way better liar.
But you can already do that.
Yeah, but because here's the thing. Whenever you have a confrontation and you try to determine what you're going to do to lie about the situation, to try to avoid conflict, you try to think up, what is the best way for me to message this? And you think about the context, the timing, the words that you're going to use, and it all ends up becoming okay. And then after you do it, like, if it's successful, then you say, well, I did that. That was well. But sometimes it's semi-successful, but you still don't get the outcome that you wanted, right? And so then you think about, well, I could have messaged it a little better. I could have done this a little bit better. If we just could just purely transmit thought, you wouldn't have to do that.
Gotcha.
That's my thought there.
Gotcha. To me, there's just a lot. So I want to talk about protective lies, white lies, omission lies, bluffing, absolutes, exaggerations, storytelling. Those are all very different types of mechanisms and vehicles in which lies can be implanted.
Well, you asked how kids learn to lie. And the Psychology Today article says that toddlers 2 to 3 years of age start to pretend play, and they pretend to, like, drink imaginary tea from teacups and stuff. And then as that ability to pretend emerges, then so does the ability to deliberately make factually untrue statements like it wasn't me. So they kind of evolve hand in hand. And that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. That's smart. Okay, how many lies have we told thus far in this show? What do you think?
At least a couple. Yeah.
Right. So this is a question. When we use absolutes, everyone, always, never, and humans do this a lot, is that a lie?
Yeah.
I agree. And we've done several absolutes today. Sorry. So my point is, we are literally lying to you people about lying.
It's funny because I was reading notes and they said, oh, in the study, they talked to 140 people and they said, write down every time you've lied. And they all of them lied at least twice a day. And I'm like,
yeah, that's poor
shit. People lie every conversation just about.
Yeah, but that, again, we could get into the research methodology. Yeah, there's a lot of flaws.
No.
That's like we want to end domestic violence, right? We don't want typically men beating their wives, but you don't get a group of men that beat their wives together and say, okay, guys, tell me about why you beat your wife. It just doesn't work that way.
No, so. And I get it. I get it.
Well, okay, what about this? I love this phrase. I got it from my buddy Kevin Cosgrove Hernandez in Texas, and it's, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah.
So is the idea of when you're telling a story, you're in a social situation, you're at dinner with friends, everyone's having a good time, you're in the middle of that story, and there is some creative license there. There's some exaggeration. In no way will it hurt anyone. You're not gossiping. You're not doing character assassination. You're just telling a story, and maybe that fish gets bigger or whatever it is. What about that? Is there harm there?
No, and it's the same way that there's no harm in white lies, right? So there are, you can think of lies as positive lies and negative lies.
The valence of lies.
And you could say the fake positive lies where you like pretend to like something more than you do. Like, oh yeah, your food was great. Like it reminds me of one of my favorite deep thoughts by Jack Handy where he says, Lori was offended when I used the word puke. But to me, that's what her dinner tasted like.
But there's a lot of people, especially in your field of technology, that are, you know, whatever, like rationalists, whatever they want to call themselves. And I just tell it how it is. I'm just a truth teller.
But
it's like,
well,
that's why you don't have friends, man.
Yeah, that's true. And that's like, oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Those type of people.
Absolutely. They think it's like a badge of honor or something to be
an asshole.
Yes. It's like when Walter... on The Big Lebowski is like, well, am I wrong?
Right,
am I wrong?
Exactly.
He goes, no, you're not wrong, Walter. You're just an asshole.
So we've evolved as a species to have a social structures. When we're in a mall, we're in a public place, there's things we do, there's things we say, there's things we don't do, the average person. And white lies, meaning lies that don't harm anyone, that are about preserving a relationship, even if it's a public relationship, or helping someone save face.
What about just saving time?
Saving time, politeness, civility, social manners. Give me a time example.
Okay, so like you and I are brutally honest with each other only because we can be that way.
Yeah, 28 years left.
So like literally if I made some food and gave it to you, you could and I was like, "What do you think about this?" You could literally be like, "All right, well, here, it's good, but you cook this a little bit too long, and it's a little bit too dry. Typically, what I like to see in this type of a cut of a meat is sure. X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean? But instead, you would be like, it was good. It was good. It's not the best, but it was good. You'd say something
that's
like
exactly
that.
Exactly. What? And I wouldn't even say that if we were at the table, and you're like, well, how? First, you would never ask, how is it? Most people don't do
well,
that,
but,
especially you.
You said, give me an example.
Fair enough. And I agree with your example. But I would just be like, yeah, it's good. Right. And then privately, you would probably say, well, what'd you really think? And then I'd tell you what I really thought.
Mm-hmm.
But even with you, in a public setting, who I can say anything to, I wouldn't do it if there are other people around because I don't want to hurt your feelings, just
Absolutely.
Like you wouldn't want to with me.
Absolutely.
Again, I see no problem, especially with storytelling, because to me, that ties into performance. And when you're performing, there's creative license. You're trying to evoke emotions, responses, motivation, inspiration. It makes me think of a really good quote from the movie V for Vendetta. Artists use lies to reveal the truth. Politicians use them to cover it up.
That's good.
And it's so true. Art, shit, even sports, you can watch sports. Like, you can find truths and beauty in these things that aren't there in a lot of other areas, or they should be.
Well, that's the power of storytelling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of the types of lies that you said.
Yep.
And it goes to say, like, a story, and I love this idea. Jordan Peterson was talking about how stories can have an element of truth to them that is not, even if it's not factually correct, it's meta true, right? So it's like it's a truth about the way that the life and the world works that we all have come to know through our interactions with life and the world, and it we share it, right, when we hear these stories, and how there are these repeating stories over and over again about heroes and martyrs and families and things like that, that they're not factually true. This one instance of it never happened. However, it conveys, the story itself conveys so many truths about life and the way to live that it's more true than if it was just a regular story that happened.
Yeah. Interesting. That made me think, one of my buddies from Texas A&M, when he was finishing up his comprehensive exams, basically your professors, when you're getting your PhD, they can ask you any question they want about anything you learned over a four-year period. And one of his questions, he studied the nature of good and evil, the persuasive philosophy behind the problem of good and evil. Really interesting study this young man did. And one of his comps questions was, talk about the rhetoric of myth, I believe was the question. And it hits into this, the idea of, well, what is myth? When does story become myth? Myth become legend? Is there truth? It was really interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that in years.
Yeah. So anyway, if we were talking about truth, I think that's an important thing to think about rather than just fact. But like, what if a lie is trying to convey a greater truth, right? So like, what if something didn't factually happen, but you're trying to teach someone something that is more in line with the way that you should live life?
What if you're a presenter and you're at a workshop and you share hypothetical examples or examples of how you should do something that's just made up
to teach lessons,
but it's about how people should do things? Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I guess
I know what
you're
I believe.
Well, your intention is pure, right? You're trying to help people,
right?
And like we just discussed, there is a greater truth that you are conveying by telling factually incorrect statements.
Correct.
To me, that's better to do that. So whether you want to call it lying or not.
82% of people use statistics incorrectly.
Right.
Think about sure stats. Sure Think about do. How many times we go through the day and we throw out stats. Stats are the biggest lie we probably use on a daily basis.
Yeah. It's just justification for getting your way. You know, I'll say this. So a stat is like a really bold, ugly thing that you can pin down.
Sharp.
Because it's a justification to get your way, right? And it takes a lot of work to try to refute a stat. And so a lot of people throw them out there because they think they hold a lot of weight or whatever. But really what it just comes down to is, and what we haven't touched down on is, you know, lying, it's like a way, it's just a way to manipulate your environment. Well, this is one part of lying. One part of lying is a way to manipulate your environment, including the people around you, to achieve the result that you want. And as you become a more influential person, a more quote-unquote successful person, you get better at achieving the results that you want by manipulating the environment around you through many methods, but lying's one of them, and influence.
Lying and the ability to deceive, actually they call it deception, is one of Robert Greene's 48 laws of power. You do not attain, if that's the goal, attaining power. If that is it, you cannot do that without using lying and deception as a tool. He believes it's the best tool to use to achieve power.
I would imagine it's really cool when you tie this back to kids, because we as adults, I don't know, we get complicated. And there's like a purity and simplicity and innocence when you watch groups of kids dealing with each other. I would surmise that if you looked at a group of kids, you know, there just tends to be natural leaders in groups of kids, or natural dominant, you know, and groups of people. But when you look at it with kids, with something simple that they're doing, I would imagine that the one who is more adept at deception / influence, because I think they're just two sides of the same coin, would be, you know, better at lying, better at forming their message to try and get what they want, regardless of whether it was factual or not.
Another law of power he talks about is people that use honesty and integrity and focus in on that as the way to be self-righteous, right? That's another way to get power. And it makes me think of, what's his name, Brennan, the guy that was in the CIA. He served under six different presidents, both sides of the aisle. Right. I forget what. Right. He just had a tweet recently, and it was all about, maybe William Brennan. I can't remember. Anyway, he was saying, you know, it was all about honor, 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 truth, integrity, and then he slammed Trump, of course, which I agree with his critique. But at the end of the day, he's using truth, honesty, integrity as ways to build power.
It's true. That's very true.
Right? And so it's easy to be to use that as self-righteous. I'm better because I'm perfectly brutally honest, and I have honor and integrity, and you don't. It's like, yeah, but you're participating in the same supra system of power that he is.
And if we were to inspect everything that he said, and I mean everything, he would be selectively honest.
He was the head of the CIA.
Yeah.
He's like the chief liar in the United States, the chief lying executive.
Intelligence agency, right? Right. Like, we're here to know stuff that you don't.
Yeah, so I thought that was a really funny tweet because it was like, kind of true.
Yeah. What about truths that everyone know? I think it was Mark Twain who said this quote.
God, he had great quotes.
He said something like, it ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's the thing you know that just ain't so.
Yep.
So what about these truths, quote unquote, that we all go around and just we've agreed as a society to treat it as true? But when we put it under a microscope, we come to understand it isn't true. But we still allow ourselves to go about living life as if that it is true. Because we've all got this weird social contract where it's like, if we all stop behaving this way, the fabric of our modern Western society will break down. And let me give you one example. And let me tie this back to the money episode, which is debt. Debt. There is good debt and there is bad debt. And if you take out a 30-year loan and put yourself on a hamster wheel of debt for the next 30 years where you have to work a job to get
a job
every 2 weeks in order to pay the debt that you have gotten yourself into, that's a good idea. That's a responsible thing. That's what a successful person would do. And you should have this thing called a quote-unquote credit score, which is you want to have the most ability to get in the most debt possible.
How much debt do you have? Shit, I can out-debt you.
Dude, my credit score is so high, I could get in so much debt that I would never be able to pay it off.
I got another one. Hey, man, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm filling out college applications. Sweet, man, what do you want to do? I don't know, man, but I'm going to get into a school. It's probably going to cost me like 50 grand a year for 4 years. I'll figure it out somewhere in there probably. That's a really smart move. College debt is great. It's actually the one form of debt that you can't get rid of in bankruptcy. The one kind. But you need to have it to be happy and successful, and you'll find yourself in college. Worst decision, worst financial decision people make in their lives in the United States is going to college. Period.
How about, we had to bail out the banks. If we didn't bail out the banks, everyone would have been in way more pain than we're in right now.
Right.
So we should publicly subsidize with the money that everyone pays. I mean, we're talking about all these things that are like, for some reason, our society has decided like it's okay to agree upon these things as true. Even though we put any of them under a microscope, they're clearly not. Certain drugs are good for you.
Well, what even gets labeled a drug?
Right.
The fact that alcohol isn't even
food.
A drug. People don't even call alcohol a drug.
It's like they knew in the beginning that food and drugs were the same thing when they created the Food and Drug Administration, right? And then they were like, oh, shit, we kind of messed up by doing that. Like, we need to separate these things because we can't admit that drugs are in food and drugs are food. You know, and if
food are drugs,
if we can just make these weird chemicals that are grown in a lab that have nothing to do with anything to sustain you, that have, you know, an impact on your body's functioning, then we can call those something separate. And then we'll just act like food is only there to sustain you. And they're not the same thing when really mushrooms grow out of the ground that make you go off to another dimension when you eat them. Like, that's insane.
Right.
But that's bad. Don't do that. That would be bad. You'd be a bad person if you were to do something like that. You would be a bad person if you considered doing something like that. That's just, we all agree upon those things as a society.
What about this? So protective lies. Lies that you might tell your kids to protect them.
Oh, yeah.
Where does a baby come from, mom and dad? A lot of parents will tell some kind of story about that. And that's odd to me.
Stork?
Yeah, that's like the old one. I'm sure there's something new that people our age say. That my point, I thought about this. They're not protecting their children. They're protecting themselves from having to discuss something that they might not know a lot about or they're uncomfortable talking about themselves. It's not about protecting the kids.
It's not at all.
But they convinced themselves of that, and that's what the definition I was reading online said, but I just disagree. And I think it's about protecting their – they don't want to be vulnerable because whether it's about their competence in discussing that area or if it's just a morally or socially taboo subject for them, I think that's why people don't do
– it's a cop-out. Yeah. It's like avoiding conflict.
Now let me flip to the other side. Again, I'm a weirdo, people. I get that. So, like, I probably go way too far on the other extreme of trying to explain how life actually works to my 5-year-old. And, you know, so the other day I was sick and I made a joke. I'm like, oh, dad's dying. And Claudia's like, you're dying? And I was like, well, you know, I'm sick, but, you know, technically, yes, I am dying. And then Kizzy's like, oh, really? We're going to go here again? And she's like, well, what do you mean, Claudia, my 5-year-old? I said, well, I'm not dying right now. I'm going to be alive for a long time, but on this earth. And Kizzy's like, come on, we've had this. And Claudia's like looking at me. And so my point is, I don't need to lie, but I could probably omit some of that just because she's not going to understand it. And she wasn't upset or sad, but she wanted to keep going.
But you have this pure intention, which is to teach her the meta truth. And
I agree, but let me real quick and then you finish your thought. Sorry. Good intentions do not sanitize. Horrible impact. And not in that situation, but every dictator of all time had good intentions. They believed what they were doing was right.
And that's the result of communism and socialism throughout history, regardless of whether, like, I believe in socialistic practices for the good of other people, but socialistic dictators and communist dictators over and over lead to really bad results.
It's never been even able if they to had be good intentions. Produced in practice. Yeah. So anyway, what were you saying about good intentions?
What I was saying is you had pure intentions to try to convey meaning and understanding to Claudia regardless of whether or not it was going to come to fruition or not. Here's the thing. Kids are like a block that you're chiseling into a statue, right? And like you just made a chip with that. You know, by doing that, you chipped a little bit of piece that got Claudia a little closer to what you're trying to mold her into. So, no, you didn't get it. She didn't get it fully at this time. But you keep telling them things that are closer to that truth, and then they start to understand the real truth more and more as they get older. It's like, so, for example, and I'll get really personal on this, right? So we're talking about not lying. Part of not lying is being open and honest and transparent, right? And saying, it's funny how, like, you selectively are honest to certain groups of people. And there's this weird social idea that it's okay to be completely honest with your family. Someone who are friends like you and I, it's okay to be completely honest with them. But don't be completely honest with acquaintances or people that barely know you because you're just making them uncomfortable. Yeah. So you're like
reciprocity of disclosure.
Yeah, you're like protecting them from discomfort by not telling them truths about yourself and truths about your life that are, sorry, but they're real and they're, sorry if it makes you uncomfortable. So I'll go down this road. I'm trying to convey the meaning to Marin of where babies come from, because I'm a cancer survivor, I could not get Lauren pregnant, and we used my brother Justin as a sperm donor, and Marin has to learn this. We've all discussed how we're going to tell her this.
I love what your decision you guys made.
We've decided that we don't want her to ever know, or Dylan, we don't want them either, to ever know the day that they found out. You know, because they're going to go off to school or, and they'll be at college and they'll tell one of their friends. It'll come up in conversation and you know the reaction. They'll be like, oh, my God, when did you find that out? When did they tell you? I want their reaction to be, we always knew. We always knew. So Marin is 3.5 years old. She doesn't understand anything about anything, but she is getting to the point where she's starting to ask, you know, really smart conversations about or questions about babies and things. And where I am doing what you're doing, which is I'm telling her more than she can possibly understand right now because she's going to pick up the pieces that she does understand. And I'll just tell her it again later, and it will draw a picture that will be full and complete to her. So she'll have a limited understanding now that will grow over time. But when someone asks her the question, when did you find that out? She'll be like, I've just always known.
Yeah, that's a really smart move there. What about...
So here, let's talk about one thing, though. So now that I've dropped that on this podcast, now I have to do certain things, right? So I need to go talk to my brother and say, hey, just so you know, discuss this on the podcast. I disclose it to everyone because that impacts his life. This is a truth that is not just to me. I will talk to Lauren about it, you know, and just admitting a truth, just conveying and communicating a truth can be such a powerful thing that think about the power with which what that is that activity that I just did, I now have to go make sure it's okay with all of them before we release this podcast out to the world. I mean, and I just think that's a...
Well, I agree, but that...
It's a good thing to do, right?
But not bringing that up isn't a lie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just... There's all kinds of things about me that I'm not going to bring up on this podcast. I'm not lying to my audience. I'm just not telling them some of the things that I'm maybe not as proud of that I did in my past.
Right. Well, here's... I made a conscious decision that for me to be able to get my opinion out about what you were talking about, right? About teaching the truth to a child. I have no more powerful way of doing it.
Yes.
Than to... do it that way.
That makes sense.
And we're talking about lying, and we're talking about deceit and hiding and not being transparent, right? So you say it wouldn't be lying, right? But what if I would have been like, God, I really want to say that because I really want that to be conveyed in my understanding of this subject. And if I'm going to be the best podcaster, the best person that I can be, I need to do that, but I hold it back.
Yeah, so then that comes actually on our next point is omission of information. In the court of law, that's not illegal, right? Unless you're asked a direct question that you need to bring up that information about. So to me, again, that this area specifically, for me personally, lying, I don't know if I like that term for lying if you're omitting information. Outside of if I'm asked a direct question and then I'm consciously and strategically omitting information, yeah, clearly a lie.
But what about consciously? What about just consciously? Yeah. So is there a difference between a subject coming up and you just genuinely not thinking about the information that you're omitting? So not having an intent to deceive by omitting versus that thought popping in your head and being like, oh, I could say this, but it would have potential negative consequences. And then making the decision to omit the information.
Well, yeah, that would be more of a lie. What about this lie?
Why? Because of the intention?
Well, because I made a conscious decision to omit information because it would make me look or feel bad.
So let's say you were in a court of law and omitting information was not okay. Would they dissect those two things and say, well, it was okay because you didn't think of it? Or, well, you thought of it and held it back and so now it's not okay?
Well, that's what an attorney would do.
If they had like an MRI machine that could determine what your intention was, whether you actually thought about it or not, right? I don't know. That's an interesting thought experiment. Okay, sorry.
No, you're good, man. I didn't necessarily have anything else on that. I just think the idea of omission of information. You know, we have another friend that tries to be brutally honest at all times and never omit any information. And to me, that and this person knows that ties into like pride and self-righteousness, and that's something they struggle with. Whereas me, I'll omit information if it's going to hurt people, especially.
Oh, yeah.
But that ties into my flaw, which is trying to please everybody all the time.
Well, yeah. But it also just shows you're an adept social actor.
Yeah, I'm a liar. Bluffing. What about bluffing? A different form of lying in particular contexts.
It's deceit.
Mm-hmm. Is it acceptable deceit?
Obviously, in a poker game, it's lying is literally built into the game of poker.
It's also, I mean, it's accept. It depends on the game, right? So it's interesting when you talk about context in lying. How come? It's just business, man.
I've got good. We're going to get into some business.
It's just business, right? So, like, it's within the context. If it's within a game like poker, it's fully expected that you will be bluffing to each other. If it's a game
like business.
Business is a game.
Whether we like it or not, there's winners and losers, or people believe there are.
There's like an there are actual rules in business, and there are unspoken rules in business. And there are objectives in business. And there are players in business. It is a game. Yep. It is a game.
And you're moving ahead or behind?
Man.
Hey, let me ask this. So in business, you're a consultant. You're getting your business started years ago. A business comes to you. Hey, we need this service. Can you provide
this? Yeah, we bluff. Oh.
Oh, absolutely. We have expertise in this. Yes. And you've never done it before. Yeah. But you believe in yourself and choose yourself and know that you're capable of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you justify it to yourself, right? So they might say, "We need a project that will achieve X. You know, can you guys provide that service?" Right? Now the answer is yes, we can provide that service. Do we provide that service today? Have we provided that service in the past? Do we have expert resources right now that I can turn around?
No, but
and
I'll
give
find
you?
Them.
Right? No, but I can partner with this other place. And make a relationship with you, my client, and utilize their resources and be a middleman of sorts.
What would a consultant do or a business person do if they're like, that sounds great, give me some referrals of past work? Where would the lying then go to at that point? You want to get the business. You haven't done it. You know you're capable of it, and you are.
Yeah.
So what could you do? What would someone do?
You would basically stretch the truth with related projects that you've done in the past. So there would be seeds of truth to all of them. With people that you actually have done projects for. I mean, it's just like when you're trying to get a job and you're beefing up your resume. You put shit on there that's like, I kind of did this. I'm going to like make it sound as big of a project, as big of a thing as I could do.
You put three layers of Canuba wax on that car to really cover those dents and dings.
Yes, exactly. Everybody does it.
Does that make it right or good?
That's one of those socially acceptable things. Everyone go Google. Like, if you think that we're talking, so everyone won't relate with the business stuff that we're talking about because not everyone owns their business. But everyone who has gotten a job and gone through the process of putting together a resume should relate with what we're talking
about. Anyone that's worked in an organization with other humans around, they understand office politics.
Go Google. Like how to build your resume or something, and read about it from the context of, is this promoting the idea of lying or bluffing or exaggeration? Everything about
it. Resume writing is a performance, but again, as somebody that's an expert and does consulting and talent acquisition, that's why businesses that only rely on resumes and interviews are way behind in trying to hire effective people, because you can pay people to write your resume nowadays and make it an all-star resume. Plus, there's AI and machine learning software that helps sort all those resumes anyway for larger companies. So if you're not even using the keywords, you don't even get to like the first stage in the application process. You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely do. So let's take it to a related. What about negotiation?
Oh, absolutely. Talk about a game. Negotiation is nothing but a game. Going back to our omission of information, you know, the best negotiators hold back information, and they know when to use information, when to play their cards, when to play particular cards. And again, it's not lying unless you're asked information, in my opinion, and it's a flat-out lie. How much have you paid this vendor thus far? $50,000? $50,000, yes. And you haven't. Yeah, I mean, that's just unethical.
It is. And on the flip side, it's what you do to win in a negotiation. Is it not?
No, it is. But my point is, you have to have personal morals and ethics. You have to compartmentalize your morals and ethics if you're going to flat out lie in a negotiation. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, right or wrong. It is. People do it.
We were on a conversation. You had a phone call when we were working together at CET building last time, where you were discussing cleaning your gutters with someone who had previously cleaned your gutters.
Yep.
He had previously cleaned your gutters for, I believe, $75.
Correct. The company.
And he was trying to negotiate a higher rate with you.
To $135, I think.
And the way that he did it was the worst negotiation. Yeah,
I had him on speakerphone.
That I've ever heard.
He was a terrible, terrible salesman. We'll call him the gutter guy. That's not the company's name.
Not only what did he was trying to negotiate, but he was trying to negotiate by not entering into an honest and open negotiation, but by being blatantly dishonest and hoping that you would allow it and be in such a situation of dire straits that you would move forward with his company anyway.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. I remembered exactly. I mean, when I said, okay, those prices have raised. First of all, he's like, oh, I don't know what that price is. I don't know what the invoice. And he was trying to act like they didn't have the information for how much they charged me the first time, which is horse shit. So I already had it all pulled up. Oh, yeah. I did. Oh, wow. We charged you $75. Yeah, you know, the rates have gone up.
I think he said something like, oh, well, you know, you say $75. I can't confirm that.
Yeah.
I don't have the invoice.
And then
here
I said, I'll email you the invoice.
Which is to call you a liar from the very beginning. So the first thing he does is infer that you are potentially lying to him.
Well, again, we're dealing with a salesman at a gutter cleaning company. So I don't want to put Fortune 500 negotiation standards on this poor guy.
No, but we're talking about what not to do.
No,
here,
I
right?
agree.
And we're talking about lying.
So then he did that. And so then, that almost doubles the fee.
He starts off by calling you a liar, right? You're like, hey, you guys did this for me for $75 last time. Like, can we do this? Can you do that again? Right. Well, you're probably I think you might be lying to me. We would never do that.
He didn't use that, but that's what he was saying. Yeah. So then the best part was I was like, well, okay, that you're raising the fees a lot. I go, why? What's your value proposition? And man, listening to this dude, he probably didn't know what that phrase meant, but listen to him stammer through. I can't tell you one thing he said because it was just
he
like
was
mumbling.
Trying to justify. Well, you got to understand, you know, we've got all these calls and we got busy people, plus the trucks, and you got to pay the gas to get out there. I got to pay my men. I just don't. We can't do it for that much. And typically we charge. I mean, $135 is the low end of what we charge. We typically charge way higher. And so I just don't even know how we would have ever done $75.
Are your gutters covered? Are they covered? Are we gonna have to remove those covers?
Right. Just try.
Do you have a dragon guarding your gutters that we're gonna have to shoot with a tranquilizer?
Well, you know, and oftentimes there's the moat around the house we have to get through.
That was funny. So anyway, I'm like, look, dude, I'll do it for $85. He's, oh no, we can't do it for that. Okay, bye. And then
you
Dave,
didn't even say that.
I said, I don't even care, because at that point I'm like, my bat nut. You can't get into a negotiation unless you know what you're going to do.
You called him out. It was really great.
If you can't come to an agreement, you have to know what your other options are, and that's called bat nut. Your best alternative to that negotiated agreement, what's life look like after? And basically, once he called me a liar without calling me that, I said, I don't even want to work with this company. Yeah. I'll find someone on Craigslist. Yeah. But I don't even remember what I said. What did I say to him?
You said, look, man, you basically conveyed your understanding to him. Like, look, man, I understand what you're trying to do. You did it for $75 for me last time. You're not going to do it for me now. I'll find someone else.
Oh, okay.
That's literally what I mean, those were the things that you said. Yeah. Maybe not in those exact words.
Yeah, but I love negotiation. I guess as somebody who is somewhat adept at maneuvering social situations and I like to be playful with the truth, right? The truth is a fun term. And so that's maybe one reason I like negotiation, but I like the hunt. I like the art of going back and forth, the gamesmanship. But once the deal's done, it's like, all right, whatever.
What if you enter into a situation with good intentions, and then over the course of the time, it's like you lie retroactively, right? So let's take this from the kid's perspective. Let's say Marin and Dylan are playing with a toy, and I'm like, all right, let's say the toy spins, right? And I say, all right, Marin, you can take it from Dylan, but, and she's like, and I'm like, but you can only have so many spins. And she's like, okay, I'll just do two spins, Dad, just two spins. I go, okay, cool. So she fully intends, I think, in her mind, she's going to have two spins, and she's going to give it back to Dylan. She does one spin, she does two spins. In her head, she's like, I need another spin. You know a kid. Like, they get so engrossed in the activity that they're doing. She does three spins. Now that became a lie. So when did she lie? When she was telling it in the beginning or when she took the third spin?
Yeah, I mean, different people would have different takes on that.
And I'm sure the only reason I'm giving that simple example with kids is I believe that that happens in business and relationships all the time. Like when you, let's say you get married and you make a vow not to cheat, but then you cheat later. Did you lie back then?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't like this.
No, no, not that I don't. No, no, no. I don't mean it like that. I'm trying to think about it. To me, it doesn't matter. For me, what matters is the action you took. So I don't think your wife, if you go cheat on Lauren, is going to be like, David, I am so mad that retroactively you lied to me 10 years ago. She's going to be like, that you fucked this person. What did you do?
Yeah.
So to me, that doesn't matter.
I think you're a different person from moment to moment, right? And the person that was you that was good and pure in the previous moments can turn bad later. That's what, you know what I mean? Like, that's the way that
yeah,
I would
but
look it, at
then
it.
To me, that lying ties into that whole spectrum of morality, good and evil, good and bad, right? So we have one now. We go to nuclear war tomorrow with North Korea, and they bomb out the top 25 cities in this country. I bet our moral spectrum will change pretty quick.
What do you mean? Explain that.
We would look at decisions that we might normally make to other human beings on a very different scale of what we consider good and bad, right and wrong.
Right. So when it comes down to survival, it's okay to do things that wouldn't be okay if resources were
abundant.
When
we get out of our little civilized society and no occupation in the United States, and we have the luxury of sitting around here philosophizing on Life Lab on Saturday morning, and if war is ever brought to our country, whether we provoke it or not, which I'm sure we would, boy, morality is going to look really different.
It's like it lowers the lying. Bar. It's like it lowers the bar. So it seems like we've agreed that lying is a way to manipulate your environment to get things you want. That could be resources. It could be power. It could be whatever. And right now, the bar is really high because most of our needs, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, are taken care of. So the things that we are lying about are to gain additional tiny, you know, bits of power and things that make us feel better or, you know, extra money in
business.
Or
things that distract us from the real truth and self-actualization. Maybe if we shed all this bullshit we have and we were just carnal and primal, maybe we'd be closer to self-actualization more often. Maybe we'd be more in tune with nature like our ancestors absolutely were. And
Can we come back to that?
Yeah, that has less to do with lying.
No, but I want to finish that.
Sure.
I want to finish that. I would like to come back to that and revisit that, but I want to finish this thought. So the bar is way high, and we're lying about these things that are not. But then all of a sudden, resources go away. Societal fabric gets torn. We're now fighting for survival.
Lifestyle. We move away from lifestyle and we move to life.
And so suddenly we are lying about food being under the rock and the other family starves,
right?
But ours lives. It's something that if there was plenty of food around, right, you would be a barbarian.
Yeah, it's the great questions. That's why it's the excellent questions that why people take philosophy classes, right? It's what are these principles? And then we get into moral relativism, right, versus absolutism or fundamentalism. And to me, I guess people could maybe label me a bit of a moral relativist. I think there's a superstructure operating, you can call it God, spirit, universe, whatever, that connects everyone. But in the moment, you look at the moment to moment, we all look really different and we make these different decisions, especially when you have catastrophic things occur. We are in such a bubble in the United States. It's insane, man. Reading about crypto really has opened my eyes to the fact that 5.5 billion people on this planet don't have access to banking. They don't have access to banking.
Look at the number
Africa,
of people
they
who
have
don't
to, have. They have to ship medicine with drones.
I saw that one of the biggest inventions, and this was in the last 10 years, was a rolling jug so that people in Africa can go down to the river and fill this jug up and not have to carry a heavy ass jug of water. That was one of the world changing, best. It improved the standard of living for so many people. It won big awards. There was a video made about it. It's basically a jug with a lawnmower type pushing bar on it that you fill up and then you can just push it.
I've seen that. It's called the Jugway.
Okay, sure.
The Segway.
Okay. It would be cool if you could ride on it. But yeah. So yes, we are in such a bubble. But here it all ties into the question: when is lying okay? It all has to do with the contextual situation.
Yeah, of course.
So if you were at a resort with food surrounding everyone, and there was someone who was developmentally disabled or something, and they were starving, and you told them, "Oh, sorry, man, there's no food," and they just didn't know any better, you'd just be seen as, I mean, that's terrible. You're a terrible, awful person because of the context of the situation. Food is abundant, and you're just withholding it from someone just to be an asshole or whatever.
It's abundant to certain groups and countries.
Sure, sure. But you get what I'm saying. In that situation. And then you can be in that same situation where there is no food, everyone's starving, and you just found a little bit of food, right? And then you lie to the other person telling them there is no food so that you can eat and survive. Everyone would agree that's morally okay. You have to survive. It's like,
to me, this all ties back to one very important point that I've been wrapping my head around lately, and it emerges from many different philosophers over time. Jordan Peterson recently has articulated it extremely well in his very famous academic book, Maps of Meaning, subtitled The Architecture of Belief. His main point, and the thing that I've been thinking a lot about that ties into lying and all of this, is the most important thing, tool, instrument, vehicle we have as humans are our beliefs. We believe our beliefs, and once we believe our beliefs, it allows us to be capable of extraordinary feats that we can label as good or bad, because we then believe they're good or bad. And if you don't believe the beliefs are the most important things we have, talk to the most religious person you know. If you don't, talk to the most right-wing or left-wing person you know. Talk to somebody about an important topic in their life where they know there's a complete other side that they just say they are wrong. Our beliefs are the most important things we have. So with lying, for me, it ties back to, well, what do you believe? Like, what's going on? And people can justify it all sorts of different ways. I wanted to mention one other thing in the bubble that we live in. Industrialized society, whatever. Then what roles does marketing, mm-hmm. public relations, mm-hmm. the media in general, any mm-hmm. form of media, including this? This is a form of media. What role does that all play in shaping the collective cultural understanding?
Yeah, the last few words, I think, are the key. Shaping the collective cultural understanding. So I talked earlier about, what about these things that we all as a society believe is true that aren't true, that are bullshit, like there's good debt and such and such. That is the collective cultural understanding. And you ask the question, what does marketing have to do with that? What does, you know, the news have to do with that? Media have to do with that? Everything. It is the propaganda machine.
Have you seen that Sinclair video meme going around, the Sinclair media?
Oh, I did.
Oh, my goodness. That is a perfect example of just horseshit lying.
If anybody hasn't seen it, Google the Sinclair media.
That's one of our change statement. Challenges is just go watch the Sinclair media meme. It's pretty powerful.
It's powerful. They made like 150 local news stations that they own read the exact same statement. And
about false news being the biggest threat to our democracy. And it sounds great. You read the words or you see one news anchor saying this. It's a powerful monologue. It was really well written. They hired a great script writer for that. But what this person, or I forget, I'm sure it was some other news media organization trying to subvert the current power structure is their agenda. But they captured that from all the different Sinclair media stations, and then they put together a mosaic of it, and it is scary. It's George Orwell 101. It's creepy.
So we've had through the evolution of this conversation, I'd like to summarize where we've come. We started talking about kids and lying and how it's natural and it's something that you have to do. You start off by pretending and playing with T sets and stuff like that. And then you have the ability to imagine, and then you have the ability to try to get things that you want, you know, with lies. And then we talked about how there's white lies, which are actually good because they grease the social wheels. And, you were not going to tell somebody that their dinner is bad if they invited you over for dinner. You're just going to say, no, it's really good. Thank you very much. That sort of thing. And then we got into some more real stuff about, you know, the context of lying, what your intention is with the lie, what can be seen as moral and what can't. And then we've tied it in to some big thoughts about our modern day society, like what about truths that everyone in Western society holds that benefit the power structures that be? And if we investigate them, they're not true. What do we think about those? And then you've even just recently, like the last thing that you were saying, is taking it to the step of, well, what about the propaganda machine that perpetuates these truths, right? And so
right.
As we've evolved on this, it's just become more and more powerful how lying shapes our lives.
Absolutely.
Like it leads to the lives that we're living.
One of the shapers.
So let me ask this question. Could there be an antidote to this, right? So if we agree that lying in the small scale in social situations with white lies and things like that is good, but it becomes a perversion when it is used for power over masses. I think that's basically where we're going with this, right? This becomes a perversion when it's used to gain power over masses, as corporations do, politicians and governments do. Yeah. And they have propaganda machines that sell you these falsehoods.
Hegemony. They get you to participate in your own domination.
To keep the power. Is there an antidote to this? And I'll bring up, there's this movie out that's called The Circle. That's an interesting movie. I wouldn't call it a good movie. I wouldn't say like it's very well written and the plot is just a home run. But it's one of those movies that the thought experiment is so good that it's worth watching for that alone. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's a movie that comes out that the concept is just so good that it doesn't have to be perfectly written and executed. The thought experiment makes it...
Yeah, where it makes your brain go.
Where it makes your brain go. This is one of those movies. And so, spoiler alert to anyone who wants to watch it, I'm going to blow it for you.
Well, you're going to tell them to watch it and then give them the way? Don't do that.
Well, I need to talk
Lie about it. Lie about how it ends.
This is not how the movie goes. Just go watch it. I'm telling you something completely different. Okay. Anyway, Tom Hanks is in it. Emma Watson. It's called The Circle. So they're doing this social media thing like we are today. Man, we haven't even talked about Facebook. We're talking about like...
Talk about omission of information.
We haven't even talked about Facebook or Google. But in this movie, a woman who is a young woman who just starts working for this company that is a Facebook-esque company called The Circle, which they've developed this new technology where... you can be open and transparent and let everyone know every little bit of information about your life. And then they purport that to be a moral thing, not just a moral thing to do, but the right thing to do. And so Emma Watson's character volunteers to be the first person who is open and honest and goes 100% transparent with her entire life. So at any one point in time, the whole world can know everything that she's doing or thinking or where she's at or thoughts she's having, lies that she's told, challenges she's facing, everything, the whole deal. And then it ends up having a negative consequence on her. She ends up leaving because of the negative consequence and kind of getting back with her parents and everything and thinking about, well, I don't want to be 100% transparent with the world. But then the end question is, what if the people at the very top, why is it that that doesn't work in our society today? Like, if we could all be 100% open and honest and transparent with each other and always know what everyone was thinking, always know what other people's thoughts are. You know, this is, I did talk about this a little bit before The Circle. You know, when I said you put words in my mouth, I did say this. would it take away and make things okay if everyone knew what everyone was thinking all the time and no one could lie? Because, and hear me out here, at first it would be shocking to hear the thoughts that other people are having that are offensive to you, that, you know, cause you discomfort, etc. But then you would just, like, erode, those sharp edges would erode away over time because you'd get used to hearing and understanding everybody thinks those things all the time, and you have those thoughts about them too, and all of a sudden there would be this new shared understanding about thoughts and feelings and stuff.
Yeah, that's a really utopian society, man.
I like the idea of it, and I'll buy into it when you get Donald Trump to put on that device, his entire cabinet, all the heads of all of the major intelligence agencies, all the CEOs of every single major tech company, all the major bankers and financiers in the world. As soon as all those men, because they're all mostly men, start wearing it, then I'll put that device on.
And that's what it all
comes
down to.
And that will never, ever, never, never happen. Never.
And that's what it all comes down to, right? But that's an important point. What if they did? So you're saying if they did, like we're saying it'll never happen, right? We're being a little bit
jaded.
Yeah,
we've talked about this. Of course I would. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But
they won't do it because they need to maintain power.
It relies, right? and privacy versus security and privacy versus secrecy.
Okay.
They need to maintain their secrecy.
That's right.
And their web of lies, right? So would I do it if it could be truly everyone equally do it? Yes. But that's why communism hasn't worked to date, because everyone isn't equal. Some people are more equal than others.
That's
why the heads of communist states are eating caviar and drinking champagne while people fucking trying to grow potatoes in a desert.
So I don't know how much longer you want to go, but
let's go five more minutes.
Okay.
You've been monologuing. You've been hogging the time. I'm being honest.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie.
Go ahead.
All right. We had a lie in one of our previous episodes that we didn't talk about yet, and we were wondering if anybody caught on to it, and we're not sure if they did, but we got a new intro, outro on the podcast. We hope you like it. We do. And we talked about, you know, that it came from Arch Audio and baking engineers, Gilbert and, what did we say, Todd or Fred? And we had a whole backstory about that, and that was all just bullshit. It was a fun lie.
It was all made up.
And so my point is, again, white lie, it was a performance. We were doing Andy Kaufman. We were locking ourselves in a trunk on stage with a put a dollar in here and then look in the trunk sign. Because it made us laugh. It made him laugh. And he didn't care if it made the audience laugh. So to me, those performative lies are okay, because that doesn't hurt anything. We made the whole business up, and it was fun. It brought us joy in the moment. That's a story we can share. It's documented.
Right.
Until electricity goes away, our kids will be able to know that story.
It was harmless.
Exactly.
We got humor from it.
Yes.
We entertained ourselves with it.
Yes. So again,
it's like
lying
it's like,
can be okay in those situations. I think it's funny.
Well, how about when you go to a party and you know, say that you're someone that you're not?
Oh, yeah. Gary Craig.
These stories. These are
fun. Man. He used to pose as another guy from Belleville that we knew who had moved away. And, oh, every time we'd go out, he'd be like, yeah, we'll just call him Fred. I'm Fred. And people be like, no, you're not, man. Like, we graduated high school together, and Gary stayed in character. He's like, no, man, it's me. It's just, you know, life's been hard. Changed. That stuff. Or the pig farmer.
Yeah, tell
Kelly
that
Tompkins
one.
Was.
Tell that one.
Oh, we made some lies up to these young ladies a long time ago that one of our friends was a world-famous pig farmer from Milan, Italy, and flew all around the world. And, I mean, we went hours into that lie, and it was just...
Milan's like a big city. There's
yeah,
probably no
makes
room
no
for
sense,
pig
but it was
farmers.
Hilarious. And they were asking good questions about hog distribution channels and all kinds of stuff. But to me, those are funny lies.
Yeah.
Here's a quick paragraph I want to read. Think as you like, but behave like everyone else. If you make a show of going against the times, flaunting unconventional ideas in unorthodox ways, people are going to think that you only want attention and that you look down upon them. They will find a way to punish you for making them feel inferior. It is far safer to blend in and nurture the common touch. Share your originality and your real thoughts.
only with tolerant friends and those who are sure to appreciate your uniqueness. Law of Power number 38.
Well, we are violating the hell out of that with this podcast.
Yeah, we are.
Which goes to show we are not out.
This ain't about attaining power. Yeah, if anything, this is going to could eventually remove some of our status and power. But that's okay. We made that decision.
We made that decision because we wanted to be truthful, right? We didn't want to lie.
I mean, if we're going to be honest there,
yeah,
there's probably quite a few things that we aren't full disclosing about some of our beliefs, and I'm still not going to because I do believe that power law is correct.
Yeah, we had that conversation when we talked about intellectual freedom.
Yes.
About what if you want to run for a political board or school board.
Even just local.
Local whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Someone can dig up anything you said and use it against you.
Yeah, and so if that's important to you to be able to affect social change through our current political structures, that's the game. The game is, what's it called? Opposition research, right? Dig up information on the people running against you. And that's part of the game, whether we like it or not. And so I'll tell you, if I was running against me, I would try to do some research, and if I found this podcast, I would absolutely cut out certain clips that I said and put it together and be like, look, listen to what this guy thinks. I mean, it's a really smart move to cut down the character of the other person. Whether it's right or not is another question, but does it work? Of course it does. Look at how Donald Trump got elected, a hate machine. He was a hate machine. That was his platform, and the American people loved it. They elected the most selfish person on the planet as our president.
So ultimately, we do agree that it's okay to lie.
The whole United States, everyone that voted for him does.
I mean, and even us are saying, well, at the very least, you have to omit truths if you want to get your way in life. And that's okay.
Well, think of how politicians talk about campaigns. Hey, it was just a campaign. I said that your wife's a horrible bitch. Sorry. Hey. Just the campaign.
It was just business.
Exactly.
Just
it's
business,
so
man.
Horseshit how we compartmentalize it, but we all do. We all do to different degrees. Change challenges. What do you got for people?
You go first. I'll try to think of one.
Well, we had one. Go watch that Sinclair Media clip. It's only about a minute, so that's an easy one. And you're not really changing. You're just really, that's more about awareness. And just know that exists.
I've got a good one. Be uncomfortably honest. Go watch the movie Liar Liar.
Yeah.
And try to reenact it. I mean, heck, I don't even know if you could get through a couple hours in a real life situation.
You got to be around other people.
What I'm saying is maybe between your commute to work and the time that you sit down at your desk, you know, to do your work, commit to being 100% honest with everyone that you interact with in that time and see what that feels like. See what it feels like to not be able to lie. When we're talking about lies being the grease of the social wheels, you'll come to understand real quick when someone asks you, hey, man, how you doing? And you stop them and say, I had an awful night's sleep. Dylan was up 2 times. He's my 1-year-old son. And my wife is angry at me because X, Y, and Z.
You pull a Don. You pull a Don Schaefer.
Dude will turn
You're honest. Like,
and walk away.
Oh, man. Yeah. I got Girl Scout cookie season coming. And
Right. Or like one of my...
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah.
What is fine mean?
Yeah. Like, no, you're not, liar. It's like one of my favorite scenes in the movie Liar, Liar is when he steps on the elevator and he's like, oh, you're new here, right? And she's like, yeah, I love the building. Everyone's real nice. He's like, that's because your boobs are huge. So anyway, try to push yourself to that level of honesty on your commute to work. And think about at the very least, think about the fun stories that you'll come away with from those short few hours of honesty. And try not to get arrested or punched or something.
Here's mine, and it only applies to part of our audience, so. For those of you that it doesn't, I apologize. If you have kids, kids that can talk, talking age, take an entire day to be 100% honest with them when they ask any question. It doesn't matter how many whys deep they go. They can go straight up Six Sigma on you, 6 levels of why in a row. Be honest each time, or as honest as you're able to be with the knowledge you have. That's always a fun exercise. I'm just lucky enough to have married the right person who's a good buffer that knows when to pull back my honesty with my 5-year-old.
Last one.
Yeah.
And this one, do this in an inconsequential situation, a party with people that you don't know, an event where you're not going to see the people again, but try to lie as much as possible.
Ooh, yeah,
do the opposite of the honesty thing. See what lies you can tell.
Going out and like role playing is fun.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a role play, yeah, or it could just be stupid, inconsequential lies, right? Maybe that are blatantly obvious to the other person, just to see how they'll react, right? So, let's say you're at a work function, an event, and they're coming around with hors d'oeuvres, and someone's like, "Hey, have you seen any? What kind of food do they have?" You know, just blatantly lie to them. Just make some stuff up that clearly is not there, and then just later on, see what their reaction is.
Yeah,
tell them that they've got lobster and steak and some stuff, brownies, and be like, "And I think there's pot brownies too." Just see what their reaction is.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we hope you enjoyed our conversation about lying. I think we've covered a fair amount. Of course, there's a lot more we could have covered, especially the social media one.
You can't get all this in an hour.
We hope you enjoyed your time with us today. And as we always say at Life Lab, experiment with life.